Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm glad you've come. I hope that you brought your Bibles, and I wish you would turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 will be where we begin our lesson this evening. And I'm excited to bring this lesson to you. I always learn things when I study my Bible. It's funny how sometimes you'll have a sermon in mind, and you'll think you know how it's going to go. And then you put it together and it goes a different way. Well, this is kind of one of those for me. I don't know if you're going to benefit at all from this sermon. I benefited quite a bit. And we're talking about the idea that Jesus was born of a virgin. And this is the kind of thing that we don't do a lot of lessons on, but it is important. And this is something I did not know about this. Did you know that a Muslim, this is a true story, we did a lesson series on Jim gave me the book. We did a story on Islam in an adult Bible class 4 or 5 years ago at this point. And in studying about it, I found something interesting. A Muslim will say that Jesus is the Christ. They will say that. A Muslim will not say that Jesus is either resurrected, nor will they say that he is the Son of God. It's repugnant to them. Because the idea that God, who is holy, would come down and involve himself in sexual relationship with a woman is abhorrent to him. Well, I would say, same here. But this goes to a misunderstanding that people have about this very issue. We'll talk about it in a little bit. And I'll tell you the reason I'm doing this sermon. I saw a meme on Facebook that just made me sound angry I could spit. I have a friend of mine who's very, very... worldly, is putting it mildly. You know, we all have friends from high school on Facebook, I'm assuming. This is one of those guys. And he's against Christianity. And he said, why would you believe in a book that talks about ghost sex? Okay? Now, I didn't get that for just a minute. But when I got it, it really made me mad. Because what he's talking about is the King James usage for Holy Spirit is what? Holy Ghost. And what this guy is claiming is that you Christians believe that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, came down and engaged in sexual relations with Mary and thus Jesus was born. That is not what the Bible teaches in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So, to prevent us from falling into the trap of not knowing the right answer and someone giving us a false answer, I wanted to do this lesson. And talk about the idea, what does it mean to say Jesus was born of a virgin? How does that work? How does that fit in with Scripture? How do I think about that? So let's begin in Genesis chapter 3. And you may think this is an odd place to begin, but it's not. Genesis chapter 3 tells us the story of the fall of man, right? Satan fools Eve. She partakes of the forbidden fruit. Man follows. And they are going to be cast out of the Garden of Eden. Well, there's this little scene here when they're about to be cast out where God addresses the serpent, the woman, and the man. Hopefully you're familiar with this text. And what I want to look at is what God says to the serpent. What God says to the serpent and what God does not say to the serpent. So if you're in the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, verse 15, let's see what it says here. And thankfully Jack put my glasses up here so I don't stumble around in my Bible like this morning. Chapter 3, verse 15, reads like this. To the woman, always helps if I, it didn't help me very much, did it? Verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now, most scholars believe this to be the first prophecy about Jesus, that Jesus will come and he will destroy Satan. Satan will take his bite out of Christ and that he will end up with him crucified, but Christ will rise from the dead and have victory over Satan. But did you notice from whom Christ would come? It does not say from the man. It does not say that the one who will come and destroy the works of Satan will come from a man. He will be born of what? Be born of the woman. Let me read that to you. With that in your mind, let's read the text. I will put enmity between you and the woman. Now, Adam's standing right there. between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. What God is saying is thousands of years before Christ would be born to Mary in Bethlehem, God knew that man would not be involved in it. That Jesus would be born of the Holy Spirit and born of woman, but not born of man. I hesitated about showing this verse, but I can't stand it at this point. Real quickly, this is bonus sermon. Turn over to John chapter 1. This is on my mind and I can't get it out. We have a reference to this same idea about our becoming Christians. In John chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 9. John chapter 1 and verse 9. And I'll be brief. John chapter 1 and verse 9. This is talking about Jesus. John 1, 9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now stop right there. We're going to look at verse 13. John here is talking about our being born again as Christians. Okay? But I want you to know that the same thing could be applied to Jesus here. Because Jesus is going to be born of the Spirit in similar ways to which we are born of the Spirit. Look what verse 13 says. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. My children were born of the will of man. I engage in a willful activity that produced those children. Christians are not produced that way. Neither was Jesus. Jesus was not born of the will of man. Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. And we'll get into this in a little bit, but why should we think it strange that God could somehow produce a human being in the womb of Mary when he created the world? Why is that a stumbling block for people? God created the things that are seen out of things that are unseen, but I just don't see how he could make Mary pregnant. Wow. We'll talk about that as we go along. But before we leave this and before we go any further, remember that in Genesis chapter 3, God said the Savior of the world, the one who would crush Satan, would come not from man, but be born of woman. That's an allusion to the fact that he's not born of the will of man. That a man is not involved in the coming to Jesus, in the coming, the birth of Jesus. Now let's turn to Isaiah chapter 7, and this is the verse that Brother Mitch read for us a little bit earlier. And I'm assuming you're familiar with this text. You may not have known right where it is, but you're aware that it exists. We're moving ahead now from the creation to about the year 700 B.C. And about the 700 B.C., the people of Israel are split into two kingdoms, Judah in the south and Israel in the north, and they are at war with each other. Ahaz is king of Judah, and Pekah is king of Israel. And Pekah has made an alliance with the king of Damascus, and they're actually attacking their own brethren in the people of Judah. Well, God tells Isaiah, listen, you get on over there and you talk to Ahaz and you tell him not to sweat this. I got it. Kind of the redneck paraphrase is what he's saying, but it's what he's saying. And Isaiah goes over to Ahaz and he says, ask a sign of God, that he may show you that he will deliver you. And Ahaz refuses. And I got to be honest with you, I have some sympathy with Ahaz's position here and not testing the Lord. But let's read what the Word of God says to us in Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, as high as heaven. And Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary me that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son,
and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria.
You know what God is saying? In the amount of time it will take for a woman to get pregnant, a virgin, to get pregnant and have a child who grows up to some level of maturity when they can know the right and know the wrong, in that period of time, I, God, will deliver Judah from Israel. It's a period of time that God is referring to. And there when he mentions the king of Assyria, what he's saying is, you know what's fixing to happen to Israel and Damascus for that matter? They're about to go into Assyrian captivity. That you will not have to worry about the northern kingdom of Israel anymore. They will not exist. When will this happen? And as long as it will take for a virgin to become pregnant and have a child that grows up to some age. Now what this is a dual prophecy. It is a prophecy that meant something in the time of Ahaz, but it is also God telling us something that would have meaning for us today. And meaning, more importantly, for a virgin girl in Judea in the year that Christ was born. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. So we've shown at the creation, at the fall of man, that God knew that he was going to save mankind, not by the will of a man, not through the seed of a man, but through a woman. And Isaiah chapter 7, in the year 700 B.C., God says there's going to be a great sign, the virgin shall be with child. And now we move to the days of Caesar Augustus, 2,000 years ago, and a small virgin girl of the tribe of Judah, of the family of David, who lives in Bethlehem. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. It says there this, back up if you don't mind, to verse 20, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But as he considered these things, this is Joseph, but as he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived is her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. Their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So do you see how God is saying to Joseph, understand Isaiah 7 was not just about the period of time of Ahaz. Understand that this is the thing that God said he would do without the aid of man. In the time of creation, God is saying a greater sign than a woman bearing a child and him growing to age is coming. A child will be born to a virgin. And that child will be known as Emmanuel, as God with us, as indeed the Son of God. So Isaiah chapter 7 comes true. I want us to go back to the book of Isaiah and look at verse 9. There's one other concept I want to get to here. So what do we know about the Savior? He will be born of a woman without the will of man. The Savior will be born of a virgin, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Well, there's one other prophecy of Isaiah that I want to deal with this, and this happens to come from chapter 9. Because there is this idea here of the phrase, a child is given. Notice it's not that a child is produced, but a child is given. It is God who gave us the Christ. It is not man. He is literally the Son of God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 reads like this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Just as Isaiah chapter 7 is quoted at the
conception of Mary with Jesus, so is Isaiah chapter 9. Because Jesus is not just Emmanuel. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This time, instead of going to Matthew's account of Jesus' birth, let's take a look at what Luke says. And notice how it dovetails with Isaiah chapter 9. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 35. This time, instead of speaking to Joseph, the angel is speaking to Mary. And listen to what the angel says to her. Verse 30, Luke chapter 1, Luke 1, verse 30, says this. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Do you hear the quote there from Isaiah chapter 9? This is God doing what he said he would do. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Verse 34, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" Forgive the rudeness of this, but just to make the point, where are sexual relations involved in that verse? They do not exist. The Holy Spirit does not have a body like you and I. The Holy Spirit goes where it chooses. Why is it hard to think that the Holy Spirit, by whom God raised Jesus from the dead and gave him life after he'd been dead in the grave for 3 days, why is it hard to believe that that same Holy Spirit could not conceive within Mary a child? Why is it that the God that created the world, who literally spoke things into existence, who said to let there be light and there was light, how is it that that God cannot create life in a woman? How is it that God, who breathed life into dust and made man, cannot create woman? How can God take that same woman? Remember that prophecy he makes through Eve there, that it will be through her that Satan will be defeated. He will be born of a woman. Did you ever think about the fact that Eve was not reproduced either? How did Eve come into being? Did Eve come into being through natural reproductive processes? No. Eve came into being because God took a rib from Adam and made a helper suitable for him. So why the hang up on this? There's no hang up. There's nothing untoward. Notice the word holy in verse 35. Holy. This event is not tawdry. This event is not some byword. This is a holy event. This is God creating life in mankind through woman, not by the will of man. So don't trip over this. Don't think it so difficult. Think it wonderful. Think it the fulfillment of prophecy. Think of it as God doing something he promised he would do at the creation. He promised he would do 700 years before it happened. Why? Because the salvation of the world would come born of a woman and not of a man. Praise God, he made it so. How did he accomplish this? Isaiah tells us, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. The will of God. God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, created in Mary, without the aid of normal reproductive processes, a life, a child, a son of indeed God. One last verse. Galatians chapter 4. Turn over there if you would. Galatians chapter 4, and I think Paul sums up this lesson nicely for us. Galatians chapter 4 uses this phrase, born of a woman. So what he's doing is he's directly referring to what God said to the serpent.
that the enmity between her offspring would not be between her offspring and Adam's offspring, but he would be born of a woman and a woman alone with the help of God. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 sums it up for us. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Let me ask you a question. How do you become a child of God? Do you become a child of God through normal sexual reproductive means? Of course not. How do you have life injected into you? How do you do away and escape the bondage of sin and death? How do you come into eternal life? You do so the same way Jesus came into this world, through the power of God expressed in his Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 5, that unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. God, through his Spirit, does something in the miracle of salvation that he did in the creation of Christ in the womb. He creates life. He makes you a child. He makes you an heir. Having said that, let's reread verse 5 and 6. To redeem those who are under the law, remember the sermon this morning, born of a woman in verse 4, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. How did I become a son? How did I become a child? God did that. That verse I read in John chapter 1, that's the reference. Those who have faith in Jesus Christ have the right to become children of God. Not through any normal sexual reproductive means, but born of God. When I'm baptized, God works. When I'm born of the water, I'm born of the power of the Spirit. And God comes to live with me in the person of his Spirit, crying out, Galatians chapter 4 tells us, Abba, Father. The same miracle that brought Jesus into the world via a virgin brings you into eternal life through faith. What a blessing. How great is our God. He knows our needs. He has provided them for us. We as human beings, and particularly as men, we like to think we do things. We like to think we're in control, and we do this, and we do that. And the problem is, if we think we are running the show on our salvation, we'll get cocky. And you know what we'll put above God? We'll put me. Well, God, from the beginning of time, knew if I let a man claim he was Jesus' father, we couldn't live with him. If I let some nation or some tribe be able to claim that they were the physical, rightful heir of Jesus Christ, we couldn't deal with them. If we let human beings think that they saved themselves, if we let human beings think that they're in control of making themselves right before God, we won't be able to deal with them because they'll get arrogant, they'll get cocky. So God said, you know what? I'm going to bring Jesus into this world through a woman, and I'm going to bring you to eternal life through my own power. I hope that you read the bulletin this morning. And I mentioned something in the first paragraph, I think it is, that baptism is not a work through which I earn my salvation, and that is correct. Salvation is something to which I submit. I submit. I don't work in baptism. I die in baptism. My will is lost in the Father. Divine's Expository Dictionary, in talking about the idea of baptism as immersion, says it is immersion, submersion, and emergence. I get wet, I go under the water, and then I come back out. In that process, God has decided through His holy will to make us children of God. Because that water's involved in that, but never forget that the Spirit is involved in that. In that moment, in just as miraculous a way as Jesus was created in the womb of Mary, I am created a child of God through the same power of the same Spirit. Forgiven and cleansed. A vessel is cleansed where God can come to dwell.
Praise God. Are you excited you're a Christian? Are you excited God has made a way for you? Are you excited that He brought Jesus into the world in a special way that no one could deny that God was working in this? I am. What a great sign that God has brought us deliverance. Ahaz wanted to be delivered. Jesus came and delivered us, not from the king of Damascus, not from the king of Israel, but from sin. And we've been born as children of God through the power of His Spirit. If you've never become a Christian, we ask you to believe in Jesus. We say to you that Jesus was born of a virgin. We say to you that He is the Son of God. We say to you that He is holy. In Him, there is no iniquity. There is no sin. But yet He went as a sheep silent before His shearers and allowed Himself to die on the cross that He might save those indeed who had crucified Him. You can trust that Jesus. You can follow Him. And if you follow Him and you stay on the lighted path, we talk about the footsteps of Jesus, lighting the path. Do you know where the footsteps of Jesus go? To the right hand of God. Won't you begin walking and following Him tonight as we stand and we sing?